That's right. It's free agency time. One of the most exciting times for an NBA fan. It's when hope springs eternal, when the team starts reconstructing its roster as it prepares for the next season. Generally, when the floodgates open, it's a flurry of different transactions occurring. You don't know who's going to be going where. You don't know if the Suns are going to get somebody that you want, but all you do know is within the first hour, your head is spinning. Matthew, I think it's safe to say that our heads were not spinning. And what is that feedback going on there? Maybe I'm just hearing that.
Do I got feedback?
No, you're good now. Just it came on with a lot of bass. It was boom.
It might have been a car.
No, it was your microphone, because once you touched it, it made a sound too. But anyways, how about that
free
agent frenzy that we just experienced?
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. Not the craziest of all time, but you know what? I still have the phone out constantly at work today. I could not set my notifications because I'm too lazy to go to the settings and do it. So I just kept opening it and seeing who was traded. I mean, who was signed to which team. So that's what I was doing all day today. Even last night when I woke up this morning, like a lot of it happened overnight. So it was kind of nice to just lay there for 5 minutes and see who went where. And it was kind of expected with like the big ones like Paul George, nothing was like, oh my God, they signed him. What? Nothing crazy like that. I felt like
not at all. This was very anticlimactic this year. In fact, the original name of this podcast was Free Agent Frenzy. And we discussed after we were doing the playback, watching the free agents show on NBA TV yesterday with some of our fellow jamsters and viewers over there on the Bright Side playback channel, that this was a free agent fizzle, that nothing was really happening. And it makes sense. I think that the new CBA is really cracking down on teams having the ability to communicate with players who they would like to sign outside of or before that window opens. And the window opened at 3 p.m. Arizona time yesterday. This wasn't what we experienced a year ago, because last year, 3 o'clock hits, Drew Eubanks is on the team by 3:01. What happens? Well, the Suns get penalized for tampering, lose their second round pick this in the 2024 NBA draft. And that was kind of the warning shot sent across all of the entire league. Like, hey, if you tamper with potential resources and assets to come on your team, you will be penalized. Of course, it's the Suns that are the only team that got penalized, however.
Yeah, what's weird to me, though, is wasn't the rumor yesterday that Paul George was going to meet with the Sixers and also the Thunder yesterday? So those meetings happened.
And the Magic.
Yeah, just what happens there? So it's like a two-hour meeting, and they're like, all right, well, I decided my whole future, the next 4 years, of where I want to play. Like, these players know where they want to play. They do talk to each other beforehand, but I do understand, like, you got to give some leeway, make it look realistic. Like, all right, we're going to wait till tonight. We already know your decision, but we have to wait so there's no tampering.
No, I don't think it was necessarily that case, because it was after the 3 o'clock floodgates opening in which they started to announce, yeah, now he's going to start talking with these different teams. He most likely has his agents might have had pre-contact, but there was three different teams that Paul George was looking at. And ultimately about 12:34 a.m. Arizona time is when he decided that he was going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. So I don't think they were trying to avoid tampering. I think that when it comes to a lot of the lower tier free agents like Drew Eubanks last year and this year, and we'll talk about where he went later in the show, I think a lot of them just said, you know what, we're going to do this right. We're not going to cost ourselves a second round pick, because second round picks do have value, because those are the salt and pepper that are that season the steak that is a transaction now in the NBA. And the Suns, again, were the martyr last season for tampering, even though we know every team does it and every team did it. The Suns are the ones who had their hands slapped. So it was a very subdued free agent period. It remains to be a subdued free agent period. I'm with you, Matthew. You know, I have my phone with me at work, and every time I see a notification pop off and I see it's Twitter, I'm like, ooh, what's this? And it's like, oh, Jason Tatum just signed the biggest transaction in the history of the NBA. And Klay Thompson's going to Dallas. Nothing Suns related. I mean, we had a little Suns related stuff today. We had some yesterday, which obviously we'll talk about, but a very, very subdued free agent period. And that's just the way it goes.
It is. And we'll get into, I feel like, just later on in the pod, more of like what happened around the West. Did teams get better? are we threatened by anybody else? And then teams out east, do they get better? Can they compete with the Celtics? But fair. I'm still fulfilled in a way from today and last night.
Well, we are very different there because I am not at all. The Suns have signed one player.
Well, not Suns wise, NBA wise. I like it. I like what's going on.
Okay. Because a lot of the talent's going east. So welcome everybody to another edition of the Suns Jam Session podcast. Whether you're watching along live or watching later, we thank you for hanging out with us and spending a little time with the Jam Session. Make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Helps us out, helps us with the old analytics, if you will. And if you happen to be watching on another platform, head over to YouTube and do us that solid. That's all I got for that. So let's pop open a beer. I'm just going to drink some water tonight because I don't feel like having a beer. It's very anticlimactic. There's no champagne to be popped. I'm going to have some ice cold water. Matthew, what kind of vodka are you getting into tonight? Is it corn-free?
No, it's Jim Beam.
Ooh, Jim Beam. All right, chug. Well, Matthew's going to chug that. We hope he'll be coherent by the end of the show. Drink along with us, Jamsters. Let's start the show, even though we already started it 6 minutes ago. It's been an interesting week for the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, they're in the process of rebuilding their roster as they get ready for the 2024-2025 season, which brings me, of course, to my first question.
Matthew, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, here we are. The Suns have now conducted the NBA draft. We got Ryan Dunn at pick number 28. We traded up to get Oso Iguodoro at pick number 40 overall. And we have now added Mason Plumlee, which we'll talk about here momentarily in greater depth. Are the Suns better or worse after these transactions?
So I think they did a really good job at getting some good fillers. I think they did well in the draft. Obviously, everyone kind of gives them, I think, like a B plus A with the draft, moving back, still getting the guy that they want. And Ryan Dunn. And then also in free agency, we knew nothing big would happen, but just getting a guy like Miles Plumlee to come in. Oh, did I say his name wrong?
Yep. Wrong one. Yeah. Miles was literally a decade ago.
Yeah. So the other Plumlee guy, I can't even think of his first name now. Mason. And I was just Mason Plumlee. Yep. There he is written down right in front of me. Getting a guy like that, it's like, okay, he's more athletic. He's a guy that's kind of like a Drew Eubanks, someone that we'll talk about in a little bit, that he seems like he's more comfortable with himself on the floor. He's more of a veteran. So that's good to have that. But overall, the Suns, they did a good job. And I feel like last season, I kind of just want to have that feeling again. It's like, oh, you know what? This roster is amazing. You know, now we actually are getting the vets in to replace those other guys that came in, like you said before in the previous podcast, that had to prove themselves, right? These guys that are coming in now, I feel like are going to be more well-established. So heading in that direction, the Suns overall are going to be better just for that. But also, you know, you just got to kind of rely on those stars to figure things out with the new head coach. But otherwise, man, I think they didn't lock it out of the park yet, but they kind of just got a single, I feel like. Just missed off the glove.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that because you take a look at what the restrictions are. So it's a tough question to ask if they've got better because, again, if you take a look at their overall roster construction, they still have three slots to fill. And we don't know what those slots are going to be, but regardless of what they are with the Mason Plumlee signing, it's all going to be veteran minimums. And the difference between this year and last year is that hope that you were talking about. And I'm kind of glad we're not going to fill that hope. That's where I differ in my point of view. I don't want to feel that excitement about this roster. I want to have confidence in this roster, not excitement. Last year, we had excitement. We didn't have confidence because this team had yet to play together in nearly any capacity, right? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Josh Okogie. Those were the only three holdovers from the season before, and they didn't play a ton of minutes together. And so we were excited because we're like, hey, look at what we've done in free agency. We got Drew Eubanks, Chimezie Metu, Kata Bates-Diop, Yuta, the Shuta, Watanabe. Like, we were excited because of all the potential that this team could ultimately bring. Then the season occurred and it was nothing but disappointment. Part of that because the expectations that came along with our excitement, and part of that because we had this slow and steady realization that it wasn't going to work. The thing that we have going into this upcoming season that we didn't have last year is an opportunity for some continuity. And I think that that's unbelievably important. The first 2 to 3, maybe even 4 months of the 6 month season last year, we were sitting around hoping, praying that this team could develop some semblance of chemistry. Right. And that was always the out that we had. Oh, well, they just haven't played enough time together. Well, that was a tough loss in the fourth quarter. Once again, we sucked ass. Well, they haven't played enough time together. We're going to enter this season with 8-9 guys who've blogged serious minutes together. And that's going to be the foundation going into next year. And that's what I'm hoping to develop as a fan as we prepare for that season, is a confidence in this roster and its ability to execute and know that they understand each other's spacing. They know how to play together, and hopefully that equates to wins.
Yeah, it's going to be different starting this year because there is like there's that kind of like aroma now in the arena that was kind of left in there where there's a lot of boos, a lot of dissatisfaction, yes. Obviously. So going back into the season with a lot of like the main pieces, obviously, and then filling those other pieces that did leave that what we will talk about, you know, all those kind of didn't make sense. Like if you're at a job and someone is fired and you're like, oh, that sucks. But it's like, kind of made sense. Right. So a lot of these guys will talk about that left. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm glad they're kind of being replaced. Obviously some of them are not replaced yet, but I feel like anything kind of in their spot will make me either equally as happy or just a little bit more joyful.
Yeah, and I agree. And you take a look at where this team is now, and we're going to go ahead, for those listening, we're pulling up the Phoenix Suns 5-year cap sheet, and you can see that at this time, in this moment, we have 11 total players who are on the roster. Again, 15 is what you need to go into next season. You got Booker, Durant, Beal, Nurkic, Allen, O'Neal, Plumlee has now signed, Nasir Little, Bol Bol has re-signed, Roddy, Dunn, and Iguodala. That, if you total it up, estimated, because not all the rookie contracts are final as of yet, but the total estimated salary of $217.7 million, with the second apron being $188.9 million. So we are clearly over that second apron by almost $30 million. So there's no trade unless we're saying bye-bye to Kevin Durant that's going to take us under that second tax apron and give us some of that flexibility and release some of the restrictions that this team is currently on. But again, when I go through that list, Booker, Durant, Beal, Nurkic, Allen, O'Neal, Little, Bol, and I guess you can say Roddy, all of those guys played on this team last year. And that's what I'm, again, excited for. But you take a look at what the Suns did thus far in free agency, and they did re-sign Bol Bol and Royce O'Neal. So there hasn't been much movement with the team thus far. Signing Bol Bol and Royce O'Neal, that's big, man, in my opinion. What about yours?
Yeah, I'm not too high on Royce. I want to see a full season, I guess, in him. I think he did play some really great competitive games last year. He did hit some big shots, but I want to guess see a full season before I really am excited about him. I know it's a great deal on both sides. I keep seeing on Twitter, but for me, I don't really care too much. I think he's a great fill, obviously, but we'll see. But Bol Bol, obviously, that's my guy. That's a guy that I can see continuing to improve. It's just how are we going to count on this guy, right? I mean, I think we kind of missed out on kind of some rim protection and free agency, unless it's not over yet, obviously, but there's very slim out there. So is this a guy that can maybe take another step defensively around the rim? Just saying, I think Budenholzer will play him wisely, hopefully give him a lot of minutes. We did see a great improvement last year, but defensively he has to be a lot better. So how much did he work on it this offseason? How much can he come into this season and prove that he can be a 4 or 5 in any kind of given lineup? And defensively is not a liability. So that's a huge thing for me to get that guy back out there in a 1-year deal, kind of just a prove it deal, which is just kind of like opposite of what I was saying earlier, but it's a good prove it guy because he kind of know what he has on the floor. But yeah, Royce, I know you like him, but are you excited for both of these guys to be coming back?
100% for a couple different reasons. One, it goes back to the continuity conversation that I just had. Both of these guys played plenty of minutes last season. I think Bol Bol played in 43 games and Royce O'Neal, I believe, played in 30. And bringing that back to the Suns is valuable because these are both second team unit guys. So there's going to be an opportunity to develop some more chemistry with them. There's familiarity. They're not moving their families here in the middle of the season. They're here in Phoenix and they've contributed to this team in a meaningful way last season. So I'm excited for that prospect. I like the Bol Bol retention for a couple different reasons. One, he's going to be valuable in Mike Budenholzer's offense. Like, mark that down, Jamsters. He likes to play some of that five out, and Bol Bol, we might see him at center like Matthew really, really has wanted, right? Like I've said, he's not a center due to the way that he plays defense. And guess what? He might not play good defense as a center when given the opportunity, but he's going to give the Suns some five out options that I truly believe Mike Budenholzer is going to explore, something that Frank Vogel would refuse to explore, giving Bol Bol some minutes at the five and trying some different things on offense and just putting the defense in some really hard to guard situations. So I'm glad that Bol Bol's for coming back for that reason and for the fact that he said, I want to come back here, because Bol Bol's value is probably the highest it was in his entire career outside of coming out of the draft, right? Like, he's somebody coming out of the draft, I believe he's a second round pick, but he was still just oozing with potential, obviously due to his size, had his injury issues throughout his career, was played off the court in Orlando, which we all kind of took as a red flag. I know I definitely did entering last season. So him raising his hand high into the sky, touching the moon, touching a SpaceX launch that Elon just launched over there in LA, and just grabbing that rocket and bringing it down and taking a bite out of him. He's like, I want to play in Phoenix. I love that. I absolutely love that. Royce O'Neal's a different reason that I love him being here for a couple of reasons. One, it's a 4-year, $44 million contract. So it comes out to an average. Let me do some math here. $11 million a year. That's a great contract for the Suns moving forward, but it also, it's your 3-and-D guy. You need a 3-and-D wing. And if you take a look, and we will hear momentarily, at the wings available on the market, knowing that this is the only guys that we can target, if we don't bring back Royce O'Neal, the only guys we can target are veteran minimum guys. Royce O'Neal is a legitimate 3-and-D guy. He came here, he played great in his first about 10 games, maybe 12, and then he fizzled off at the back end of the season. We had a lot of questions about the attitude and effort of this team overall. Part of that's because Royce O'Neal kind of fell off. He got comfortable with the Phoenix Suns. I hope that that comfortability and that edge returns. The comfortability doesn't return, but the edge does return for Royce O'Neal. And I think it gives the Suns a really potent and underestimated top six players, with the big three, Grayson Allen and Nurkic starting, and then Royce O'Neal, who can start if Grayson Allen goes cold. So for those reasons, I'm very excited that both these guys came back.
Yeah, and I guess just the way it ended, I mean, it was a whole team, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. But I think just losing his edge, like you said, where you didn't get to see a huge sample size of his play here in Phoenix, obviously is a very comfortable player in Utah. And then after going to Brooklyn, like that little stint, like he probably wants to be comfortable here and just kind of get his groove. And I think just believe in a coach and believe in each other out there. Cause once I think he saw that, he's like, oh, I came here to maybe have a chance to win a championship, and I just know it's not going to happen. Like, I feel like that kind of just was shown on the court, just like a lot of the players. So I'm excited. Yeah, I am. I think he's going to be the one player that I keep my eye on a lot next year.
Yeah. So that's the guy you've kind of keyed in on, and you're like, okay, prove it to me, Royce. I need to see
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Well, there was four total guys who could have opted in, and all four of them opted out, right? All four of them opted out. Drew Eubanks, Eric Gordon, you have J.O. and D. Lee as well. So two of those guys have also signed elsewhere, Drew Eubanks and Eric Gordon. J.O. and D. Lee, they're still out there. So what are your thoughts on these two? Because I thought like Gordon and Eubanks, we knew early on, Gambo was reporting that early on, that those guys weren't coming back. And I don't think that we have any love lost for Eubanks and Gordon being gone. I really don't think we do. If we do, correct me. Do we?
Absolutely not.
Okay. J.O. and D. Lee. So what are your thoughts on Josh Okogie and Damian Lee, J.Lo, and Okogie? What are your thoughts on those guys not coming back?
You kind of feel like, oh, is there something that this team's doing wrong that they don't want to come back? Because D. Lee's the one guy I feel like that would come back for sure.
Yes.
Because he was injured all year. And, like, he had such a good, like, I think there was a good community around him. And obviously, like, he just seemed really loved. And he always seemed so cheerful for a guy that's on the bench all year long and how depressing that can be and eat at him. He just seemed to really love it and live it here in Phoenix and just always have his kids around and stuff like that. So it just seemed like he would come back for sure. Unless something was said, and unless there's another signing that's coming in, he's just like, I probably won't get any playing time. He wants to see what else is out there. I understand. But yeah, J.O., I did say last pod, I'll just say it again, that with Ryan Dunn coming in, J.O. will probably be replaced. And I just don't think he really wants to be up in the air anymore. I think he really wants a solid spot on a team, even if that is like the Wizards or something like that. That might give him some decent money and he can get maybe 20 minutes a game there.
Sorry, I just changed the format for those watching because I realized the whole time it said 2024 NBA or Suns draft show as our header. I didn't even update that. So fucking
love it.
I'm getting these. We're trying.
For people those are confused. Who are, they're like, what the hell's going on?
They're like, is this from last Thursday? For those of you who are listening, I'm trying out some new graphics. It's the off season. It's the time to try out new graphics, things of that nature. Get my rhythms down on producing them and such. And fuck that one up. So I'm just going to go back to our traditional view here. Yeah, I'm with you when it comes to Damian Lee. I thought that he would stick. You know, this team took a chance on him. And I see what Chantel says, and I'm going to bring this up. Reports they want to sign J.O. for more money. Well, they can't sign him for more money, but they can sign both Josh Okogie and Damian Lee for more years. You know, so these guys are both on one-year deals, essentially, if they opt in. So perhaps that they're going to get veteran minimums and then extend it for 2 years, give them another player option. And I see Aussie Suns fans. He says, I think Lee and Okogie resign. Here's my question. Why hasn't it happened? Like, these aren't free agents that you're working with their agents and you're trying to get to know and develop those relationships and talk them into why coming to Phoenix. These are guys who are on your roster the last two seasons, both of them. Why wasn't this like 20 minutes into free agency? It's like, hey, we're bringing these two guys back. Or are the Suns exploring different options in their roster spots? That's what's interesting about this whole Josh Okogie and Damian Lee saga that's going on. Are you okay if they both come back? And are you okay if they don't come back? How do you feel?
I'm okay either way, just because there's not much out there that really intrigues me. I think Chris Dunn obviously is the one guy that everyone was really excited to get. Very small chance that we could have, and he did not. Obviously, he signed somewhere else. But I think with these guys coming back, it'd be fine. But maybe what's going on is like kind of a Love Island thing, one of those trashy shows where they're just kind of like feeling other sides out. Like they're just trying to fill out free agency while the Suns see what else is out there maybe. And maybe they're okay with that. We're going to try that different relationship and see if that works. And then if not, we'll come back together and be miserable. But that might be what's going on, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense that they haven't signed yet, because I would have thought they would have been the first guys to come back, obviously, but it just didn't happen. And I think Okogie makes more sense where he might want to go somewhere else.
Yes.
But Lee, like I said, it just seems like he would just come back, and I was kind of excited to see what he would bring, of course, as like that just the Eddie House guy to come off the bench and just that we're excited for last year, and obviously didn't happen.
Yeah, I like Okogie. You know, there's two different mechanisms at work here when it comes to Okogie. And I wouldn't mind if Okogie came back, but we also just drafted Ryan Dunn, who, in my opinion, has the same skill set and same deliverables that Okogie has, but in a more athletic body, right? He's going to, you know, obviously everyone's going to talk about how he can't shoot. And one of the things you have to understand about Ryan Dunn is he didn't get a ton of opportunity to shoot. If you go and you look at his time in college, I think he attempted less than 99 free throws. And that's what we're basing his shitty free throw percentage on, even less three pointers. And so it's not a huge sample size necessarily of what he can do as a shooter. It's not a good sign, obviously, but it's not the worst sign. But I think that if we gave him 60 games, and we gave him 16 minutes in those 60 games. I think he can average 4.6 points. I think he can average 2.6 rebounds. I think he can average 0.4 blocks and 0.8 steals, because that's what Okogie did last year. So why not take those minutes that were sporadic throughout the year, again, 60 out of 82 games, and give them to Dunn, who is 6'7", 6'8", whereas Okogie was 6'4". So if he doesn't sign back with Phoenix, in my opinion, it's not the end of the world. And to your point, Matthew, yes, this is the time for Okogie to cash in on who he is. And that's a disruptor, and that's a defensive presence, and that is somebody that is valuable to a lot of teams. Damian Lee is the one I would prefer to have back, simply because Eric Gordon's gone. And I believe Damian Lee, who played a grand total of 0 minutes last season, has the ability to be a better version of Eric Gordon. He can shoot the three ball. He's probably not going to shoot it from 35 feet, and he might be a turnstile on defense, but so was Eric Gordon. So if again, you take a look at what we have and what we had, it's like Gordon would equal Lee and Okogie would equal Dunn. But that being said, neither of those guys have re-signed. So I don't know if they're going to re-sign or if the Suns are out looking on the market at other potential guards.
Yeah, the Suns went kind of heavy defensively this offseason, right? I mean, you got to get more shooting. So they had to kind of fill those spots with shooting, I feel like.
Yes.
The more shooting, the better. I think that's the only really real option to go the remaining free agency.
Agreed, because you look at what we did in the draft, and we went defense heavy. Defense and athleticism, right? Mm-hmm. You went Ryan Dunn, who is oozing with defensive capabilities. And I can't wait for Summer League in 2 weeks because, one, I'm a sicko Suns fan, so I will be watching. And two, because I want to see what both these guys have. Remember watching Tamani Kamara last summer? And we got him at the 52nd overall pick. Same kind of thing, right? A defensive guy, better shooter, obviously. But we wanted, and he just owned the games that he played. And that was fun and exciting. And that's what both Oso Iguodoro and Ryan Dunn are going to bring to the Suns, as well as some of these other guys that we're going to mention here in a bit that they've picked up along the way. Boo Booey, right? They picked up a guy named Boo Booey. They picked up Jalen Bridges, who's going to be on a two-way contract. Connor Gillespie, who's going to be on a two-way contract. All these guys who are not only potentially playing the Summer League, but also be members of the G League Valley Suns, which is a great more options. And that's all you want, is more options.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. You can kind of see these guys come over now and just watch them kind of grow here at home. You know, that makes it a little bit more exciting for me with these names. You're like, who cares? They're not going to get any minutes. Two way guys like Saban Lee. I'm like, oh, that'd be so beautiful for him. But
where is Saban these days?
I don't know. Where is he, dude?
Well, let's talk about the one free agent signing that the Suns have done that actually affects the big roster. Mason Plumlee is now a member of the Phoenix Suns. Matthew, thoughts?
My first reaction is, you know, with Eubanks gone, is this the new guy that Kevin Durant yells at during games for no reason?
and Devin Booker. That's
his frustration. Yeah. Or like, who are they going to yell at now? Is it going to be the new white backup center? It might be. I'm okay with it. I'm excited about it. I think it's a good replacement for Eubanks. But like I said, he's a veteran. He's a guy that kind of knows his place out there. He's like Eubanks, but he's going to know what to do out there. He's not going to show the incompetence that we saw continuing throughout the year for Eubanks. And when Eubanks was so aggravating to watch, we might get that, of course, with Plumlee, but we know that he's going to be more confident out there and not be hesitant on a dunk, not be hesitant towards going to the rim, and just he'll look a little bit more like he knows what's going on out there. Eubanks was very confused towards the end of the year. You could see the anxiety on that guy's face throughout the whole game. So with that missing and just kind of replace him with like a little bit better version, obviously it's a win for the Suns.
Yeah, that's the lens that I think a lot of us are looking at this through, is when you hear Mason Plumlee, like you don't get all tingly in your toes. You know, your hair doesn't stand up on your arm. You're like, ooh, shit, we got Mason Plumlee, you know? The Plum Dog Millionaire, Plumpty Dumpty. What other? Do the plump, come, plump. Huh? Do the plumpty plump. I'm already starting to think.
I got one.
Oh, what do you got? What do you got?
Oh man, I didn't think of any.
Oh,
damn.
Just call him Miles.
Sorry, there's more out there.
I want you to call him Miles all season long. Like, oh, get his, and remember, it's like Miles, and then his other brother's name is Marshall.
As soon as we signed him, I knew I was going to say Miles on the pod and just forget his, you know, when you just go up blank and like, oh, what the fuck was his name? There's like two of them. That's it, right?
There's three of them.
Is there three?
Yeah, who's the other one? Miles, Mason, and Marshall.
Marshall, okay.
Yes. So just, you should all year long just be like, yeah.
Mason's the best one though, right? He was the best one overall.
Mason's the best one. Miles
Plumlee. I do remember Miles. Yeah, he did it back in the day. I remember he like led the league in rebounding for first five games of the season. And I was very excited about that. He never recovered after that.
Well, now we have Mason Alexander Plumlee. And while his name doesn't get you overly excited, it is a good floor play, in my opinion. And it adds girth to this team that we always need. We're always an undersized team. And we're not undersized by having Nurkic. And I wouldn't even say we were undersized necessarily by having Eubanks, but we were undersized relative to skill because Eubanks just didn't have it. His basketball IQ, we watched it nightly. And there were flashes of moments of wow, look at the way that this guy, you know, attacks the roll, attacks the cylinder, finishes at the rim. That was exciting. But you take a look at the overall plus minus on the entire year, and Drew Eubanks was easily the worst plus minus this team had. He was a negative on the court. I think he was a negative 106 on the entire year. So what I like about Mason Plumlee, you know, he's 35 years old. He went to Duke. Okay, Drew Eubanks went to Oregon State. I'm going to give the brains to the guy who went to Duke on that one on a pure surface level. Didn't have the greatest season last year, only 5.3 points and a total of 5.1 rebounds, both of which were career lows. He was injured with an MCL sprain, a big part of the season. But I think that, again, if we're looking at it through that lens that you mentioned, is this an upgrade over Eubanks? Yes, it is. Is there still opportunity to build around the center position? There is. Oso Iguodoro is going to give us an athletic big behind potentially both of these guys. And the hope is he can play his way into the backup center role. But now you have a solid backup big behind Nurkic. But I still think that there's some opportunity there, Matthew. There's still got to be potentially one more big out there that the Suns can sign. Yes. That's just to make me feel better, because I don't think that, like, if you tell me it's like Nurkic, Plumlee, Iguodoro, I would like a little bit more fortification behind that.
There's too much size in the West, man. It's just like the Suns have to do something else. And there is a name. I don't know if you want to go through the names that are.
We're going to go through all of them.
Okay, I'll save it for that though. Okay. But yes, I would like another center just to shore us up a little bit, because I think we're pretty solid everywhere else. Obviously, mm-hmm. shooting, like I mentioned before.
Well, playmaking we need.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, well, that's another topic too. But
yeah. Yeah, and we'll get to that momentarily, because the Suns did sign a point guard today. It was a two-way point guard, so every team gets three two-way contracts. The Suns have already filled two of those two-way contracts. They got Jalen Bridges, who played at Baylor, went undrafted, and is another athletic big. Like, this Jalen Bridges is going to be a guy who we're all really excited for Ryan Dunn and Oso Iguodoro in the draft. Or I'm sorry, in summer league. Hold on, do you hear Lainey?
Yeah,
my wife's getting ready to take the dogs for a walk, and Lainey just loses her fucking mind. She's like, "Oh, outside." But anyways, but Jalen Bridges is going to be a guy who's going to be really fun and exciting to watch this summer league, and not you know, he's kind of that mid wing big kind of guy. Not I don't know if I'd go as far as to classify him as a big, but he could ultimately end up maybe getting a spot on the big league roster with a two-way. He'll be there, but I don't know how many minutes he'll play. But Connor Gillespie's the other guy. Talk about him.
Yeah. So Connor Gillespie, is it Colin or Connor? Connor. Gillespie.
Colin. It's Colin.
Is it Colin?
I keep saying Connor. I've been saying Connor.
Yeah, all Connor. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, do I have the wrong first name again? I'm like, there's my notes.
Miles Gillespie.
24 games played though last year. Obviously didn't get too many minutes, 9 minutes per game. He was 40% from three, unlimited threes, but in G League, that's where he really showed his stuff there. He averaged in eight games with the Grand Rapids team over there. He did average 21 points, almost 11 assists per game, which is pretty amazing. I mean, but it is eight games.
Almost a triple double, right?
Yeah, he was pretty insane stats wise. So I could see why they had the addition, and with having the G League here, it's even more enticing, because I'm like, all right, we can actually watch this guy no matter what, right? He's not going to start. He's probably not going to be with the Suns team. Obviously, when the season starts, he'll probably be over with the G League team off and on. But we have a guy that's a point guard. He's not really exactly what you want, but it's just something that might be a little bit more promising than just having nothing. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and again, like you said, with the G League affiliate, this is an absolutely huge two-way contract player, because he's what, 25, 26, somewhere in there. I mean, he's a little bit
25,
older.
25, yeah.
Yeah, 25, yep. So he's definitely older. He's 6'1", so he's definitely undersized, but he does possess playmaking ability. He's not going to add anything really to the big league ball club unless called upon, unless we really need him. Hopefully we don't, but a solid ad. I'll take that. Couple things in the chat real quick. And then everybody who's watching along live, again, truly thank you for doing so here on July 1st. Make sure you smash that thumbs up button. If you happen to be watching along on Twitter or Facebook, head over to our YouTube page, leave us a thumbs up and a sub. If you could, it'd really mean a lot.
It means a lot.
It means a lot to me. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. Please do. But popping into the chat, Nacho, every 5 minutes, says trade Beal. Okay, Nacho, we would all love to. You have no trade clause. Not going to happen, bro. But keep typing it.
He's excited about Plumlee, so now he's staying, dude. He doesn't want out of Phoenix. He's jumping for joy with that signing. That's what I keep saying.
And Ra is, once again, trolling the chat. Guys, the Suns aren't deep enough to compete with the other teams of the West. Suns need to trade Booker to Houston. Get the picks.
Probably
back.
Right.
Yeah, probably right. Never going to happen. Okay. creepy call, Crawley. Trade Nacho. Oh, man. All right. So, we talked about some of the acquisitions. We've got Mason Plumlee. Matthew likes to call him Miles and Marshall. I like to call him... I haven't decided yet. It's Plumpty Dumpty.
Frederick, you said
Alexander.
Alexander.
He's Map. Mason Alexander Plumlee. Map.
Put him on the map.
Yeah, we could do something with that. And then Connor or Colin. Colin Gillespie. Colin.
Connor's better. I haven't heard of a Connor or met a Connor in a long time.
I think
Connor McGregor. That's it.
Connor McGregor. Connor, isn't that one of the kids from the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody? Nope, that's Cody. Fuck, Cody. Am I talking about?
Sweet Life of Zach and Colin. Connor.
Colin Farrell. So the Suns still have 3 roster spots left. So the question is, what do they fill those roster spots with and who's available? So we're going to bring up a couple lists talking about the different options that are available, knowing that it's only veteran minimum guys that are going to end up joining the Suns. We'll go through some of these, and I'll ask you this, Matthew. What do you think the Suns should prioritize as they look at their last 3 spots?
I think a couple more guards. I know you did say wings, but I think the Suns, a couple more guards, and then also just a big. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm really think that we're in a need of a wing. I wouldn't be mad if it was 2 guards and a big. Or a guard, a wing, and a big. I think that's the way to go, one of those 2 routes. But we definitely need playmaking. So if we take a look at the remaining free agent guards, I've broken these into tiers, and these tiers are purely my own. So if you disagree and you're like, Isaiah Thomas in tier 2, he should be in tier 1. Get fucked. These are mine. Who cares? These are just the names. Okay, so this is what the Suns have to choose from. Okay, tier 1. Chris Dunn's already off the board. DeLon Wright's already off the board. Those are 2 guys I really wanted the Suns to get. Chris Dunn is going to be a Los Angeles Clippers, because it seems like the Clippers is buying up everybody right now. DeLon Wright is going to be with the Milwaukee Bucks. So left in tier 1, you have Cameron Payne, Seth Curry, Patty Mills, and Monte Morris. Tier 2, you have Josh Okogie, Pat Bev, Eric Gordon's off the board. He signed with the Philadelphia 76ers. Lonnie Walker, Shake Milton, IT, Damian Lee. Tier 3 is Justin Holiday, Dennis Smith Jr., Malachi Flynn, Aaron Holiday, Jordan McLaughlin, Brandon Boston, and Lester Quejones. And then tier 4, Garrett Temple's already off the board. Some guy whose name I can't say. Trent Forrest, Javante Green, Kevin Harris. So there's a lot of options still out there. Taking a look at this list, Matthew, who did you want above all else? And is he already off the board? or are there other players that you could see the Suns making a run at here?
No, so I got three guys that I like, and they're not off the board. Chris Stone was obviously a big favorite. He was only in tier one, I think, last time by himself, or am I wrong? I don't know.
No, there was more.
There, okay. Well, you know, the two guys that I liked, you know, just to come in and just handle the ball, Seth Curry and Patty Mills in tier one. Obviously, those would be great signings for the Suns. Seth Curry could replace Damian Lee. This is if Damian Lee does not come back, or Josh Okogie, obviously.
Yes.
And then the other guy that I do really, really like is Patrick Beverley. So the two guards that I mentioned earlier that I want the Suns to get would be Seth Curry and Patrick Beverley, just because you got that defensive toughness, that annoyance of Patrick Beverley that the Suns still definitely need. They have the guy to replace Josh Okogie and a young Ryan Dunn, but does he have that fucking, like, the fuck you yet? Because he's going to be a rookie, right? And then also Seth Curry, because we just need that automatic shooting, some guy to come in that can get hot in certain minutes of the game to kind of save the Suns and maybe a slump or just put games away. So I can see that as being the best duo.
I'll tell you this. So Cameron Payne is a guy I wouldn't mind having back. And I'm not normally one to say, hey, let's bring back former members of the Phoenix Suns. So Cam Payne is on my list of three, because I'm with you. I have three guys. When I take a look at this list, knowing, as you mentioned, Chris Dunn's off the board, and that's unfortunate. I really wanted Chris Dunn. I think that he would have brought playmaking and defense, and it would have been nice to have a Dunn and Dunn backcourt, or Dunn and Dunn on the court at some time. But Cameron Payne's somebody I wouldn't mind having back. Monte Morris is a guy I'd like to have. Again, the challenge, you know, not the best playmaker, and that's what we need is playmaking. So when you look at this list, you're not going to find a ton of playmakers, and that's unfortunate. But it's interesting because you said Patrick Beverley, right? And like Aussie Suns fans, if anyone wants a piece of shit, let's bring in Pat Bev. Why bring in Pat Bev, Matthew?
Because he's a piece of shit.
Yes. Okay. I agree with that.
So, I know he had the thing to run in with the female reporter from ESPN. That was like the last, that was the one thing where it's like, all right, everyone's like, all right, I don't want this guy anymore. That's the one thing, cross the line too far. But I feel like everyone already forgot about that. So I don't know.
Well, here's my case for Pat Bev. And trust me, I'll slap myself.
Ow.
Just for thinking this. But one of the issues with this team is they don't have an edge in any capacity. And Pat Bev, as reckless as he is, and an asshole, he can be an asshole to guys who need to be treated like assholes. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Pat Bev would have no issue chewing out KD on the court. Now, he'd probably get traded at the trade deadline simply for doing that. Hell, if you look at KD wrong, he's going to block you. But you need somebody out there to hold them accountable. That's the challenge that the Suns have had since Chris Paul left. Last season, there was no accountability on the court, accountability in the locker room. Pat Bev, as much as a dipshit he is, he can bring that. Now, again, he's not going to give you playmaking. So it's like we talked about, maybe acquiring two guards. Maybe it's Monte Morris and Pat Bev. But Monte Morris, I just don't think that, you know, I think he made $7 million last year. Like, he's going to cash in somewhere. I don't think it's going to be with Phoenix. John Gambadora already said that they're not going to go get campaign. So, you know, that one's off the books. Pat Bev, I'm okay with. Maybe Shake Milton as well. But I'm okay with getting somebody who's going to come out there and play with fire and grit and get the team pumped up. The Jay Crowder and Chris Paul personalities that we so missed last year. Why not? Fuck it.
Yeah, and I'm basing a lot of this too off of if there's some way. I think you've mentioned it multiple times last year, but just having Beal come off the bench too, and just run things with this group of guys like Bol Bol, and if you get a Pat Bev, and you just have shooters around them, it would be fun to watch defensively, even with Ryan Dunn out there off in the second unit with Beal. But obviously, that's not going to happen. So we all do want the playmaker. I just don't think Patty Mills is a guy, definitely, but you know, it's not going to be at the height of where we kind of think we need with this team, playmaking wise. But I don't know what's really available.
Aussie Suns says no Monte Morris. Give me Patty Mills. I will say this: two things. One, clearly, Aussie Suns fans is biased, seeing as Patty Mills is in Aussie. But two, we had this conversation last week when we were doing the playback for the draft, and the nice thing about Patty Mills, one, I could call him Duckbill Platypus, or Platy, whatever. Patty Mills, according to Aussie Suns fan, is going to have an amazing Olympic run, and it's going to catapult him into the next season. And I'm here for it. Why not? Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll talk about wings here momentarily, but a quick shout out to Dave Jolovitz in the chat, $1.99 in that super chat. Thank you ever so much for supporting the pod. This is Vets Minimum Super Chat for a Super Max pod. Appreciate that, man. I really do. Awesome. All right, taking a look at the available wings. And again, I'm telling everyone in the chat, or if you're listening, it's like some of these names are probably incorrect. I did my best. A lot of former Suns on this list. Tier 1, Taurean Prince, Sadiq Bey, who both I think will not garner vet minimum contracts, but I put them on here anyways. Derrick Jones Jr. and Kelly Oubre Jr., both former Suns, both off the board. Derrick Jones Jr., a Clipper, and Kelly Oubre Jr. is staying in Philly. Tier 2, Jalen Smith is off the board. He is now with the Bulls, and Jalen Smith looks like a Chicago Bull, just to put that out there.
He does.
Reggie Bullock, who I believe Gambo said the Suns are not interested in. Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, Danilo Gallinari. That makes up Tier 2. Tier 3, Markquief Morris, Jordan Nwora, Thanis Antetokounmpo, O'Shea Brissett, Najee Marshall's off the board, James Johnson, the UFC fighter. And then Tier 4, you got Flatko Konkar, Lamar Stevens, Anthony Gill, Kendall Brown, JT Thor, TJ Warren, Marcus Morris. So there's like 30 fucking Suns on here. Is there anyone on here who just... gets you mildly hard.
So what's the deal? Is Saric off the list for Gambo, or has he confirmed anything with Saric?
He hasn't said anything with Saric.
If we do want a little bit more size at the wing position, just a big body, then of course you'd go for a guy like him. I don't think Danilo Gallinari really has anything left. I think he's always a name that's really exciting, and then once he's on your team, it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But it's a vet min, but I can see a return of Saric out of all these names. I just think that makes the most sense of all these names. But what do you think?
I agree
with
a lot of what the chat is saying. I don't think we need it. With Bol Bol and Royce O'Neal re-signing in Phoenix, plus the addition of the two draft picks, you know, again, Oso Iguodoro, I have kind of slotted as a big, but he's also, he could be slotted as a wing as well. And obviously Ryan Dunn is clearly a 3-and-D wing in every sense of the word. I don't see them taking any of these guys, and none of, like, if Sadiq Bey would come here on a veteran minimum deal, like, that would make me go from 6 to midnight instantaneously. I'd probably knock over a couple things in the process of doing so, but outside of that, it's a bunch of has-beens, never wases, and former Suns on this list, and I don't want any part of it.
I don't either. Very yucky.
Very yucky. Ugh, and mucky.
Off with it. Oh,
get that off the screen. All right, let's talk
screen
bigs. Now, again, obviously, you look at the rotation. It's going to be Nurkic. It's going to be Mason Plumlee. God, you got me second-guessing myself now. Potentially, Oso is Iguodoro. But looking at who's out there, Tier 1, Goga Bitsidi, return to the Magic. He's off the board. Tier 2, James Wiseman, Daniel Theis, Mason Plumlee. I should have circled that because we got him. Andre Drummond's off the board. Andre Drummond went to the Philly. Tier 3 is JaVale McGee. Alex Lynn re-signed with Sacramento. DeAndre Jordan re-signed with the Nuggets. Drew Eubanks is now with the Jazz, which I want to talk about here in a second. Bismack Biyombo, Mike Muscala. And then Tier 4, Tristan Thompson, Boban, Udoka Azubuike, Damian Jones, Taj Gibson, Harry Styles, Giles. Anyone here that you won't?
Jimmy Theis. Just give me Daniel Theis.
I think I'm okay with that now.
Just throw him in there. I know James Wiseman does seem kind of intriguing, but I think this is a team that needs players on the court knowing what they're doing on the court just from the get-go, from preseason all the way through the season. So I think Daniel Theis is a perfect guy for this team that's left.
Ugh. Yeah, again, the way that I look at this is the fact that Nurkic, Plumlee both have the opportunity to be hurt. Maybe opportunity is not the word. Likelihood to be hurt. So Daniel Theis could be a good and didn't he back up Plumlee last year and then took his job from him at some point?
Yes.
He was a Clipper. Yeah,
so. Yeah, he did because Plumlee did have that knee injury last year, like missed out the season, right?
That's right, yeah. So,
yeah.
And Alan Snow says, no more bigs, kind of want Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba's a Clipper now, too. He just signed with the Clippers while we're on the podcast. So, like I said, the Clippers are taking up everything. So, I agree with, let's see, who said it right here? Here we go. Psycho Hawktua 2000. I feel like we should be done with the big search. Need to focus on a ball handler. I completely agree there. I do think we do need one more big, and then, like you said, two guards, one potentially with the ball handling abilities. Drew Eubanks in Utah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good place for him. Like, it's either that or Washington, right? It's a great place for him just to live and just make decent money, some good money, $5 million a year, and just to play basketball there. Just, you know, he'll get minutes, and no one's going to really worry about that team because obviously they're kind of like on the selling edge right now. I think marketing might be on the go. Who knows? But they're definitely not a team that compete, I feel like, next year. Great jerseys now, but they kind of went opposite direction, dude, after 2 years ago of having a pretty decent
100%, 100%. Yeah, you know, so good riddance. It's going to be fun to beat the shit out of Utah this year.
Yeah.
That being said, those will be the games that we lose.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say that. Those are going to be the games we lose.
After going through that list, I mean, it shows you it's not a great list of players out there, especially from a veteran minimum contract, who the Suns are going to be able to add to this team. The goal is to get guys in that are going to assist in making us confident and potentially work a trade. There still hasn't been a lot of trades in the NBA. Here's what's interesting about this free agent run is the overall lack of movement. Because I feel like so many teams are trying to figure out this second apron CBA. So many teams are restricted now. It's kind of ruining the fucking league. It's ruining the goddamn league, right?
I think so. I don't know.
I think it is. We're not seeing as much movement. Maybe that's the end goal, is not as much movement. But I really was hoping Nasir Little, like, get him off the books. I was really hoping for that. Nurkic, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking a lot about Nurk. And, you know, I know that he's definitely going to be a part of this team next year. But his contract was one that was like, you know, maybe we can make some shit happen. But Nasir Little's the other one. And we haven't talked about him nearly as much. But, he kind of classifies as another wing. So we definitely need to try to identify a quality passer. That's why the Chris Dunn news kind of hurts. Because it's just like, oh, man, that could have been the guy.
Yeah, you wanted that guy. But the Clippers got him, like a lot of guys today. So I just think the league's in a good spot right now where it's kind of like – spread out all the talents. I like how the teams that kind of needed those extra pieces kind of got them in today, yesterday. So I kind of like how the way the league's looking right now.
Well, good for you. I don't. I want,
even if it's tough. I know, because we would have had fucking 8 players on this team that were all making $40 million a year if it was possible. We would have
seriously. All right. Well, let's you know, spend the last 10 minutes just kind of looking at the overall state of the NBA, if you will. Obviously, a lot of transactions happening outside of Phoenix.
Thoughts. In the middle of brains?
All right, so the big one, Paul George going from the Los Angeles Clippers to the Philadelphia 76ers. Matthew, tell me about your thoughts.
I like that the Clippers moved on from him. I'm glad that that team's kind of broken up with him and Kawhi. Just sick of it. You know, it's kind of like when Harden left the Rockets. It's like, thank God, just gotta kind of move on. But I'm excited for the Sixers because I think it's the one piece they need to compete, because I don't know how much you can trust, obviously, Joel Embiid in the playoffs trying to take on every team, do it himself. So that gives them their extra piece. They have their guard, they have their wing, they have their center. It all makes sense there. And the East just needs to get better. So I think it's I'm glad that he did move to a team, and I'm glad it's in the East.
So the East got better, which means a team potentially got a little bit worse here in the West. Next guy I'll talk about, Isaiah Hartenstein, going from the Knicks to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Damn, that Thunder
team. The West got better.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's actually the one piece I feel like they needed after getting Caruso, which was an upgrade. Yep. The whole Giddy, he still has a long career, I feel like. But I just think the Thunder right now just need a guy like Caruso and a guy like Hartenstein, just to make things work defensively and just get that extra body down low, dude. That team's going to be unstoppable next year. Did Bill Simmons pick him as his number one team next year to go to the finals? Is that what I heard today?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. I don't know if he said that or not.
I was listening to the pod, but like, that's, I was kind of going in and out, if you will. Yeah. The other moves that they made, they re-signed Isaiah Joe, which I thought was a good.
I'm glad they kept it together, dude. They didn't go after anybody crazy. You know what I mean? No,
they met their need appropriately with somebody who's going to definitely help
them.
Way
to do it.
and either he's going to play backup behind Chet or he's going to get some starting five opportunities, and Chet's going to play the four, which is going to make them fucking really, really tough. Tobias Harris is no longer with the Philadelphia 76ers. He's with the Detroit Pistons once again.
Yes.
How Tobias Harris is it to be a Piston again?
Yeah, I know. It's so nice. I think he's made over $300 million already in his career, and I never even knew he existed. I didn't even know he was in the league anymore.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope left the Denver Nuggets and is now with the Orlando Magic. Thoughts on that?
I think it's a good pickup for them. It's KCP to me was always, when he wasn't with the Lakers, obviously wasn't his best year, so I never really was intrigued by him until he left there, and then you really saw his talents. So that team obviously is growing, and it's a good piece to fit in there with them. And they didn't make any drastic changes. They didn't go after Paul George. They got like the one guy in there that can just lift them up a little bit higher in the East. Not really competitive finals wise, but just to make it a little bit more tougher in the series against the Celtics or the Sixers.
Yeah, I think it gives them that much needed depth that they definitely experienced last season in the postseason, where their depth just hurt them. And he's a champion. Two-time champion. I think he's one of two players who's won two titles in the 2020s. And I can't remember who the other guy is. I feel like it's a member of the Celtics. Just one. Can't remember. All right. Let's see. Who else was on the move? Klay Thompson is now a Dallas Maverick. Tell me about your thoughts on Klay Thompson becoming a Dallas Maverick, Matthew.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts, but I'll give my quick little thoughts. I think it's a great fit for him. I don't think he's going to be the guy that he ever was. Obviously, he won't even be half that guy. But just it's a good piece for Luka. We don't want the Mavericks to get any better, but they need that extra guy to get a shot off and to just score rapidly if he can. I think he can have those games still, but I just think that maybe being the third or fourth guy now on the team, it'll be perfect for probably a fourth guy, because I feel like Lively, obviously, next year is probably going to be the third guy on that team. Then he could play if he can just swallow. I think he's had a hard time just dealing with the whole ego thing and just coming back down to earth. Once he's there, though, and he's playing on this team, they're going to be unstoppable at times, obviously, with him if he's cruising.
Yeah. When it comes to Klay Thompson, I mean, he went from 50, a big contract. He's going to be making 16 on average, like 16.6 a year. So price for value paid, I guess it's okay. He's definitely past his prime. He's 34 years old now, injured, shots kind of gone. Dallas got worse, in my opinion, and I'm okay for it because, you know, they lost Derek Jones Jr., as I mentioned. It's Clippers. He's upcoming on my list. I'm going through the list of all the guys who've kind of changed teams. No, you're good. And I just think they got a little bit worse. He can't play defense. I know that they picked up Najee Marshall, but he can't play defense. And he's just not who he used to be. And it depends on what his role is going to be. If he's just a guy who's coming off the bench and just trying to stroke some threes, maybe he'll be okay with it. But, I mean, he was playing with one of the – I don't know.
It's weird because like
I'm okay with it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I've always been a big Klay fan, so I kind of want to see him come back and, you know, kind of be close to his old self. But I know it's never going to happen. So
no,
and it's fine because he's on the Mavericks. So why would I ever root for that?
Fuck the Mavericks. Right. De'Anthony Melton went from Philly to Golden State. Any give a shit?
No. Golden State, man. What the fuck? I'm surprised nothing happened with that team yet, but it's not over.
Chris Paul went from Golden State to the San Antonio Spurs.
I love it, man. So Chris Paul has a center that's young that's not going to probably give him fits and hate his ass after a year or two, probably, you know, like DeAndre Ayton. So I think it's nice for Wiseman to have that, man. You learn from him. And I think it was kind of nice how they didn't go after Trae Young. That was probably an option because I feel like Wimby is a team. So to get him Chris Paul, to teach him everything, to learn from Chris Paul for a year or maybe two, that's huge for this franchise moving forward. I think more than getting a guy like Trae Young, where you have to battle over who's number one on that team, because that's just going to be a frustration.
It's ego. It's all ego.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah.
Well, we'll play the drop.
The point guard.
About this, and I was talking with my buddy Ryan, who is a Spurs fan today, and he was saying, like, it's going to be interesting and we're all trying to figure out how we're feeling about it as Spurs fans, because this is Chris Paul saying, I've given up on winning, because San Antonio is not going to go for a title right next year. You know, they impact. I told him, like, they're going to be better than they were last year. And he's like, we don't want that in San Antonio, because next year's draft is supposed to be really good. Next year's draft is the opportunity to get that next piece that could be the star next to Wemby. Chris Paul is going to be great there from a leadership standpoint, and will rub off on Wemby in all the right ways relative to leadership. But is he going to be okay with losing? Because that's what that team's going to do. And they're going to do a lot of it next year. And at least that's what, as a Spurs fan, he's hoping, you know. And he's like, what I like about our team is they play hard. They can't win. I'm like, fuck, man. You remind me of the old Suns teams that we used to root for, who it's like, man, we finished with 23 wins on the season, but we all watched and gave a shit because they gave a shit. And it's so funny, because last season was the exact opposite. This team should have given a shit, could have given a shit, and didn't give a shit. Shit.
Yeah. You know, Chris Paul might be a little bit more used to losing after playing that Warriors team. He felt it from everywhere, I feel like, on that team, from Klay Thompson and Draymond Green just unwinding the whole team, Steph Curry maybe crying on the court at times because of Draymond. So I think he felt it worse than what he's going to feel in San Antonio. Obviously, they're not going to win because he can't carry them in any way. Obviously, he can't stay healthy, and he can't probably even hit shots to get them back into a game.
Maybe he's going there to become an assistant coach under Greg Popovich next season. Who knows?
Brilliant move. Or maybe the future coach of the Spurs. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the step. So Jonas Valanciunas goes from the Pelicans to the Wizards. Thoughts?
Hell yeah, dude. That's my favorite signing. I love that one. Big V to Washington. I love it, man. A Washington D.C. Wizards. Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it. It's just so stupid. It's just like stupid fucking... Valanciunas, like, they even said the Lakers should have got him. It's like, yes, I hope the Lakers would have got Big V, because fans are always so frustrated with that dude, and you can't play him in the playoffs. I don't think you can. I'm so glad he went to Washington.
I'm with you. Just go away. You know, Jonas Valanciunas, go away. Go to Washington.
I'm sick of his ass. Yeah, get him out of here.
Derek Jones Jr. going from Dallas to the Clippers.
That's nice. I like how the Clippers are just getting all these little, like, small pieces next to Harden and Kawhi.
Yeah, it's interesting what they're doing. You know, Paul George is gone, so what they're doing is they're backfilling it with a lot of talent, is what we're seeing. We mentioned Jalen Smith going to Chicago, but any thoughts on that you wanted to share?
Good for him.
It's like I said, he feels like a bull to me.
He had a decent year last year too. It's the goggles, maybe. It's the glasses he wears, right? It kind of reminds you maybe of
forward. What's his nuts? Horace Grant.
Horace Grant, yeah.
There you go. Another guy to go to the Clippers from Philadelphia, Nicholas Batum. Kind of hoped the Suns would be able to get him.
I thought he was already on that team.
He was, and then he wasn't. Now he is again.
Yeah. So he's going to keep flipping back and forth.
Let's see.
I was hoping for him too, though.
Eric Gordon going to Philly. Thoughts?
I kind of feel like we're missing out. I feel like he has a big year next year. We fucking...
No. I'll tell you, if any fans will eat... Eric Gordon alive worse than Suns fans, it'll be fucking Philly fans.
Yeah.
Now here's the last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here on the podcast. So we talked about all this player movement, right? What's the one team I did not mention at all? What team is always Lakers. Talked about? Lakers.
Yeah.
The Lakers have done diddly shit. Diddly fucked shit. They haven't done anything. LeBron James hasn't, you know, he opted out of his contract saying, yo, if you could bring somebody here, man, like, I'll re-sign, restructure, what have you. And I love how they're like, Jonas Valanciunas is going to be a Laker. Nope. Who else was on the list that was guys who were going to be a Laker?
Was it Derrick Jones? No, it was just all those Laker kind of players. Like Klay Thompson?
Yeah, Klay Thompson was going to be a Laker.
Yep.
Nope. So a bunch of guys end up not in LA, and conjuring tricks. Johnson asked this earlier. I got a question. How come LeBron is taking a pay cut to sign free agents and Beal won't? It's because LeBron opted out of his player deal and now he's a free agent. So he said, I'm going to opt out of this contract to free up money so you can bring in extra players and I'll sign for something less. Beal has got 27 years left on his contract. He's got a no trade clause, so he's not going anywhere, but the Lakers, despite how much the media shoves them down your throat, are not going to be good next year. And I said the same thing last summer. Rui Hachimura is going to be their starting four next year. Anthony Davis had a peak health year last year. So as much as they want them to be good, and then LeBron James going to play with his son, they're not going to be. Do you think there's any planet when LeBron James signs a veteran minimum deal with the Suns? Let's close with that one.
That would be the most badass thing. But it is the Lakers front office is probably like, no, please don't. We don't know who to sign. We don't know how to spend this money. So, I mean, if we don't have any money to spend, we couldn't really help you out, LeBron. So it's not our fault, right? It's all tied up within these couple of players. But yeah, if he came to Phoenix still as a thing, that'd be kind of fucked up to his son.
It'd be amazing. It'd be fantastic. All the family drama. It'd be great. It's not going to happen. Don't aggregate me. But yeah, it's just interesting that with all the movement, everything that's going on. Now remember, the Lakers are a team that's like the Suns, right? They're a second apron team. There's not a lot of things that they can do. So this just goes to show you that the fact that we got Mason Plumlee, as mundane as that sounds, and the three moves that we have that lie before us, as mundane as they will be, we're still in a better place than the Lakers. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. Or winning in the playoffs. That'd be
nice. One game.
That'd be nice too. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, Sir Matthew?
Nope. I think I'm okay. I'm excited for the in-season tournament coming up, so we got to look forward to that. I was actually USA basketball coming up, so the I don't
in-season
know.
In-season tournament?
Yeah.
Summer League?
Yeah, in-season tournament's coming up too. But I just think USA basketball is going to say just with Booker and Kevin Durant being on it. And it's kind of nice they didn't have such a long postseason for that reason, to where they can come back and not be as tired as a lot of these
yeah.
players. But
yeah, very fair. They've had plenty of time off. That's for goddamn sure.
Fuck the USA. Oh, I'm just kidding.
When are we going to record next? Next Monday?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Unless something happens
between
now and then.
I'm pretty sure our roster will be filled out by then, right? By the 6th?
I think so. Yeah, we'll tentatively do the 6th. Maybe we'll do a Thursday show. I don't know. It's the off season. It's July. Like, things slow down around these parts, Jamsters. But still, we have over 779 people watching. So we truly appreciate.
I don't know if those are real people. Are they real people?
It's a bunch of bots out there just watching us right now. They're forced to watch us via the bots. But again, if you're watching along live, we appreciate it. If you happen to be on YouTube, it's a reminder that 46.9% of the people who watch this show are not subscribed to the show. So if you're watching the show on YouTube, you haven't subscribed, just do it. Nike.
Please.
And put on the bell notification, because when we go live during the regular season, you know when we're going to be live. It's like 10 minutes after every game. But the off season, you just never know. So if you turn on that little bell notification, it'll let you know on your phone that we've gone live. If you want to watch live, see Suns Fever admits it right there. He's a paying bot. And Nacho thinks that bots are more valuable than Beal. So it's all
that's
fair.
Great.
But keep it going. Like, subscribe, rate, review. You can follow me at Darth Void on Twitter. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow Matthew.
I'm Matthew Lissy.
And that's all I got for this show. Matthew, take us home.
Go home, love your family. I love you guys.
Call Sun Jam Session, Post Game Thrill, John and Matthew, podcast skill, analyzing game for comedic flair since 2019, they've been right here. Sun Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad, from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word, original podcast, haven't you heard? Subreddit stakeout behind enemy lines, Batman, Valley, Lissy, and Curry combined, reporting live, with jokes to the brain. Flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad, from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word, original podcast, haven't you heard? Subreddit stakeout behind enemy lines, Batman, Valley, Lissy, and Kermit combined, reporting live with jokes to the brain, added flavor to the podcast game. Suns Jam Session, Post Game Pod, talking Suns ball with the Jamster Squad, from the Valley of the Sun, spreading the word, original podcast, haven't you heard?
Diehard fans are just passing through, Suns Jam Session's got some for you. Pick the eyes to the feet's bitter bite, with the Suns through the day and the night. After every game, don't miss the beat, Suns Jam Session's gonna bring the heat. John and Matthew leading the way in the Suns podcast.